Welcome to Law in the Bush, a regional, rural, remote podcast by the University of New England's Law School.
You're listening to Law in the Bush. I'm Lisa Ward, your presenter, and today we're speaking with Associate Professor Guy Charlton. Welcome to the show, Guy.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've been at UNE's Law School for a couple of years now. What's been your journey legally to become an Associate Professor of Law at UNE?
Well, I practiced law for 12 or 15 years in Milwaukee. And I was a general practitioner, ran my own business. And then what happened was, is I had always been interested in the more academic side of law and the politics side of it. Part of my work in the 90s was working with Native American tribes, Indian tribes, casinos. I can't stand going into a casino. I just can't stand it. I've done enough. Hunting and fishing rights. We did issues with mining, planning, extraterritorial jurisdiction, all those sorts of issues, tribal courts. And what I did is I proceeded to go to the University of Auckland. And there was a leading professor there, my supervisor, David Williams, who's one of the leaders in self-determination across the world. And I got my PhD in that. And subsequently, as part of my work, getting my PhD and teaching through my PhD, I engaged with Australian law and the Australian experience. And that's really what led me to Australia. I think the issues confronting Indigenous people and human rights in Australia, from a professional interest, I find them compelling, interesting, the laws developing, the policies developing. From the issue of social justice and practical use of the law, being in Australia is what suits me and what I want to do in my academic and legal career.
What attracted you to work at a regional university? I mean, UNE's sort of high up on a mountain.
Oh, well, part of the reason I find regional universities a good place to work for is you have a certain collegiality that you don't have in a city. You also have the interaction with the local students and with the community that in a way that you don't get in the city. So one of the fun things about being at UNE is if I want to, I can get in my car or get in a bicycle and go down to the courthouse. And I can talk to the judge or see the lawyers. And in a big city, you can't have that personal impact and you can't have that policy and legal impact that you can do in a small community. And that's one of the reasons why it's working in a regional university. In some ways, you can get more experience. You can have more of an impact on the local level, which, of course, can translate into a larger level. And you also have the ability to learn, I think, a little more effectively.
With your research, I know it crosses quite a few areas, not just our First Peoples rights. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I do research in Indigenous issues, doctrinally and comparatively. I've worked to the government in Canada. I've worked in the United States. I've worked in New Zealand, here in Australia. So I'm fortunate enough that I have been exposed to different policies and law across a range of common law jurisdictions. Part of my work is this comparative Indigenous law. More and more, I'm finding that you need to engage outside of the law with anthropologists in particular. I have relationships with anthropologists and activists in New Zealand, United States, and Australia, and Taiwan, for instance. The other aspect of my research is I actually do a lot of environmental research. I recently did some research on climate change and deforestation. And that's becoming an important area of my research portfolio.
And do you find any challenges to doing research based in a regional university?
Yeah, there are challenges. The challenges are that often in a regional university, you have a hard time connecting with other experts or people who are in that particular area that you might need advice or you might want to get some feedback from. The internet and Zoom can help. But there is something about personal interaction with people. I find with academics in particular, you learn a lot by sitting around and having a cup of coffee and those sorts of things. And that's something that in a regional university, you have a harder time doing. And that's why I would encourage everyone who works at UNE, as well as students, to get out also and meet people outside of the area, because that's an important part of academic work.
You're listening to Law in the Bush, a law research series about regional, rural, remote law by the University of New England.
Now, you've published books and journal articles and book chapters. How did you become involved in the international projects?
Well, first of all, I haven't published a book yet. I'm still working on my book on usufructuary rights. On usufructuary rights. So my usufruct book is not done. I hope to be finished this year. I found that I've gone to a lot of conferences. That's a way I've met a lot of international collaborators. I've been blessed that because I've worked in universities and a bunch of countries that we've talked about, that I've met and worked with a lot of people. So the collaborations that I have are either directly by meeting people through conferences, through people I've worked with, or through connections that I've gotten from the people I've worked with. So for instance, this webinar project with UCLA and National Chenshi University, well, I met the professor from UCLA over coffee while I was on a research trip in Taiwan. So that was how that came about. And we started talking and we continued our relationship after we met. So it's just like everything. It's when you practice law, you meet people by word of mouth. You meet people by interacting with them. And academics is the same way, I think.
Oh, that's excellent that you accidentally met someone in Taiwan. It's not what you'd expect, I guess.
Yeah, well, this is the contingency of life.
What is the project that you're most proud of?
Well, I'm very proud of the work I did on usufructuary rights in Taiwan. And I got a grant some years ago where we went out and we talked to indigenous folks across the island. And we generated some academic articles, but it's also been used as part of the framework to develop a policy on indigenous hunting, actually, in Taiwan. So I'm very proud of that work because it's on the ground empirical research, which is, and again, this is one thing that lawyers were not trained to do. So you have to work with people who do surveys, anthropologists. You have to be aware of the ethical implications of dealing with indigenous folks. And I'm proud of that work. Most recently, I'm proud of doing the work that I've been just finished on, looking at objections to forestry management in the 19th century and comparing those objections to what's going on in climate change today. One of the things about indigenous rights is across the board, everyone thinks their experience is unique. Every indigenous group, every society thinks the conflicts they have, the discourse they have towards human rights and minority rights is so unique that we can't generalize. We look at the same thing in terms of history. We think that our historical problems actually are unique and that everything that confronts us today is so different than what people in the past. And I found out through my research that actually a lot of the issues related to climate change were actually talked about when they were talking about deforesting countries like Australia 150 years ago. These same issues came up. And of course, deforestation is a big problem here in Australia. We lead it. We're number one in the world in it, in fact. And that's sort of something that I'm interested in generally, is this the sort of scope of history and this idea that our experiences, actually a lot of the problems that we've had have been confronted by earlier generations. And we don't appreciate that.
That's very exciting. And it's also exciting that the work you're doing does have an effect on policy.
Well, I hope it does.
What does the future hold for your research going forward?
Well, I think one of the advantages of being here in a regional university is that as you move forward on some of these research questions that have practical implications, so you're doing things on rural crime and Aboriginal crime, maybe some proposals can come out of that that you can implement at the local level. And these issues can then, these solutions can be, if they're effective, can be trialed there at the local level and then worked across the state or across the country or across various countries. So that's exciting, and that's the opportunity that the use of your law to engage in the community, your expertise to engage in the community. And I hope to do that.
We look forward to seeing the outcome of this research. And if researchers would like to connect with you. We're going to have a link up to the law school and to some of your past research at the bottom of the podcast. So please click on it and get in contact.
I look forward to that, actually. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being with us today, Associate Professor Guy Charton, and thank you for listening to Law in the Bush.
Thanks for listening. We want to hear from you. Please fill out our survey in the link below.